I'm Karen Given, and it's time for Three Stories You Should Know.
Fans, please welcome back Kawhi Leonard!
On Wednesday night, Kawhi Leonard returned to Toronto for the first time since he led the Raptors to an NBA championship. And that's where we'll start this week. I'm joined by Mike Pesca, the host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist, and by The Athletic's Michael Lee. Welcome back to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Great to be here.
Michael, you're up.
NBA reunions are often pretty ugly. We've seen it in this last decade. LeBron go back to Cleveland the first time and get booed incessantly. We've seen Kevin Durant go back to Oklahoma City and get called a cupcake and a snake and everything else that his mother didn't name him. But when Kawhi Leonard returned to Toronto, we got the opposite spectrum. We got a chance for a community, a city, a country to show their love and respect for a player who gave their franchise credibility and validation by winning a championship. It was the greatest one-and-done story in NBA history, a player who was traded to a place that he didn't necessarily want to go, but made the best of it, and it turned out to be a gratifying, steamy affair. Kawhi returned, they chanted his name, MVP, they had a great tribute video. And I just kind of want to get your thoughts on just if winning does cure any type of ill will or if it's having to be a fluky situation.
Maybe being Canadian cures a lot of ill will. I mean, there was a confluence of factors, right?
Yeah.
Canadians are nice. They won their championship. Everyone pretty much realized that the Kawhi tenure was a rental and, you know, what a great 5-star review on Airbnb for that. And then you have the other factor that the Raptors, post-Kawhi, people were slotting them in as a non-playoff team. They're doing great. They've had players who are role players like Van Vliet and Pascal Siakam really flourish. So all the factors that could have gone wrong have gone very well for the city to properly show Kawhi the love and for that love to register on Kawhi's face as a totally blank expression because that's what Kawhi does.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but there were these competing billboards, which I really love. So New Balance and Kawhi put up a huge thank you Toronto in, I guess Toronto has like sort of a mini version of Times Square. I didn't know that. I apparently need to go to Toronto.
You do.
I've never been. And the Raptors return the favor with billboards at Scotiabank Arena and BMO Field. Clippers coach Doc Rivers said the whole thing was super classy. And Michael, I want to compare that to the reception Paul George got on Monday, 2 years after he left Indiana. This is, I guess, his third time back in town. There were boos. There were chants I can't say on the radio. And I know it's not just that everybody's nicer up in Canada. So what's going on in Indiana?
Well, I do want to offer one correction. They are nice in Canada, but they're not that nice. And if you ask Vince Carter what he had to endure the 10 years after he demanded a trade out of Toronto, he'll let you know that they were not very friendly with him, and they didn't forgive him until he was no longer a threat to the success of their franchise, and they started winning again. But as for Paul George, he sort of understands that that's just what he's going to deal with when he goes there. And I actually had this chance to speak to him about the reception that Kawhi got and the reception that he got. And I said, so I guess the championship is the difference. And he said, not exactly, because Kawhi Leonard does go back to San Antonio. And he does not get the same love that he gets in Toronto, even though he was the finals MVP with the Spurs in 2014. And Paul George basically said that when things don't go the way they want them to, fans look at us as the bad guys. And, you know, it's unusual when you have a breakup that it is a positive breakup. But I think what happened with Kawhi, too, is that it was such a short, you know, it's almost like that summer fling that you have or, you know, when you're young. And that's sort of what happened with Kawhi and the Raptors. It was just that fun summer experience that you could just always hold on to.
Okay, so on Monday, the World Anti-Doping Agency banned Russia from all major sports events for the next 4 years. We all remember back to last winter's Olympics. Russian athletes who could prove they were clean were allowed to compete, but not under their team name or flag, and they didn't hear their national anthem when they won. That ban stemmed from the state-sponsored cover-up of doping at the 2014 Sochi Games. So the Russian Olympic team was reinstated last year, but as a condition of that reinstatement, they were required to provide WADA with a full copy of the data from their lab. Instead, they allegedly planted fake evidence and deleted files, and that brings us to this latest four-year ban. And this thing has gone all crazy political, as is the way in 2019. A narrative is emerging in Russia that suggests that this ban is part of the West trying to hold Russia back. And normally I would be all yada, 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 same old about this. But Russian boxers have apparently voted unanimously to reject the idea of competing as neutral athletes again. They're planning to boycott. They say, we didn't cheat. We run a clean sport. Why should we be punished? And I don't know, maybe they have a point. Mike, what do you think?
Well, the Russian Federation has been having a systemic doping program for years now. And as much as you don't want a federation to have doped and these athletes to have cheated, but if it has happened, I do want a full and real ban on these athletes. And yeah, even some quote unquote innocent athletes, especially because they are given an out of participating under the Olympic flag. If they say, no, we choose to stand by the flag of Russia, well, then you can't compete. And that, I think, is a fair thing.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with what he just said. I mean, there are going to be casualties of this if you have a government, you know, that is, you know, promoting cheating and encouraging it. And I just feel like if that's what they want to, you know, say that we won't compete if we can't represent our flag, then I say sorry, because your flag represents something that the Olympics is not for, which is doping and cheating.
Yeah. It almost seems like they think, oh, if we say we're not going to compete, then WADA is going to back down and we're going to be allowed to compete under our flag. But I really think that history is not on their side on that one.
Yeah. And can I just add one more thing?
Yeah.
This ban is not just for the benefit of the other clean athletes. You know, Russian athletes are pressured, more than pressured, compelled to dope. Okay. And so if there were a robust punishment regimen in place, then perhaps these very athletes, at least future generations of Russian athletes, won't feel pressured or made to do this to their bodies.
Really well said. All right, Mike, what do you have?
Well, we have Spygate 2, or maybe 2.something. The details this time around are that a crew from the New England Patriots showed up, they were credentialed, at a Browns-Bengals game. Why? Because the crew was doing a series, they say, for the Patriots website. This week's vignette was to be the advanced scouts, but during the entire second quarter, a Patriots videographer was just had his camera trained on the opposite sidelines. The cameraman identified himself as a Robert Kraft employee and asked if he could just delete the footage and it will all be forgotten. I'm surprised he didn't like pull out 100 and said, Benjamin Franklin can make this all go away. And if you remember back to the original Spygate, where from 2000 to 2007, they were demonstrated to have been taping opponent sidelines. Here is what Matt Walsh, a former Patriots videographer, told the NFL, as reported by ESPN. During games, the Patriots videographers were told to look like media members, to tape over their team logos or turn their sweatshirts inside out, to wear credentials that said Patriot TV or Kraft Productions. So the whole identifying yourself, that raises another red flag, as does the fact that these are New England Patriots employees videotaping the other team.
All right, Michael, I know you have no love for the Patriots, so bring it on.
You probably won't find a bigger Patriots hater than this man right here. And I love whenever they get caught cheating, because that's what they do. Cheaters cheat and they can't stop cheating. But I'm kind of willing to give them a pass on this one, because I think this is actually some bumbling videographer who maybe overstepped his bounds. I mean, the fact that he was, I think he was reportedly in Boston Bruins hockey gear.
Yeah.
Already made the first mistake there. And also, we're talking about the Bengals. I mean, I know that, you know, Tom Brady's had a rough couple of weeks and he's lost, back-to-back games or whatever. But if they got to do this with the Bengals, then something's really wrong over in Belichick land. So I'm giving them a pass on this one.
Wow. I did not expect you to give the Patriots a pass ever.
I know. That's not something I do, because I usually like to just jump on them, and especially when they get caught doing something dirty. If it was the Ravens or somebody, I'm like, oh, they definitely did it. They don't even need to scout the Bengals. They could just show up and beat them.
Unlike you, Michael, I am a Patriots fan.
I know.
And I enjoy going to games. I think Brady is the GOAT. I miss Gronk. I believe in my heart of hearts that those footballs were not deflated. It was just really cold outside that night. That said, guys, do better. Like, you've been caught illegally filming before. You need to know that when you get caught filming again and you say, I was filming a documentary, it's totally, totally, totally going to sound like a lie. And then the fact that the documentary is called Do Your Job just kills me, because if everyone was doing their job, they would have gotten the proper approval to film for the documentary and they wouldn't have filmed anything they shouldn't have. Mike, what's a Pats fan to do with all of this?
Well, I guess you could still compete under the Russian flag, right? against the Bengals. it's a very New England, it's a very Boston scandal, because I love the idea, as Michael points out, the guy shows up in a Bruins shirt, like essentially just wearing like almost a Dunkin' Donuts hat, saying, can you direct me to the bubbler and the Mass Pike? No ma! And like, how much more Boston can he be?
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Mike Pesca, the host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist, and The Athletic's Michael Lee. Thanks to both of you.
You're welcome.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, I promise to keep this quick, but this is the part of the show where I remind you that you can get Only a Game via podcast. Please subscribe and please leave us a review. It helps other listeners find the show. We'll be right back with Charlie Pierce. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Only a Game NPR.